Welcome to the holiday cheer edition of Railbird Central, because there's plenty to cheer about if you're a Packers fan. Five Packers players were named to the Pro Bowl on Tuesday, and speaking of cheers, the Packers want to hear a lot of them at Lambeau Field this weekend. An explanation is coming up on Cheesehead TV next. Christmas, happy holidays. I'm Brian Kirivu. I'm your host. I'm joined by our live blog director, Jamie Stone, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this weekend with a lot on the line. A game against the Detroit Lions in the regular season finale. Winner becomes the NFC North champion. Winner gets a bye in the playoffs and at least the number two seed with an outside chance of getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs if everything breaks right. We start with the
Packers news of the day.
Breaking news just moments before coming on air. Green Bay Packers linebacker Clay Matthews named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week for his performance this past Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you remember, Clay Matthews had 2.5 sacks against the Bucs, in which he was part of a relentless Packers pass rush. They having 7 sacks on the afternoon. Julius Peppers adding 2 of his own. Quite a performance this past week against the Buccaneers. A great defensive performance. Can only hope it continues into the final game of the regular season and then into the playoffs. This was a team, a unit that was so maligned at the beginning of the season. I know we're talking about Clay Matthews in his pass rush, but I just happened to check out before coming on air as well the Packers rush defense rankings. Do you remember how down people were on the Packers rush defense, run defense at about the bye week after that week 8 loss to the New Orleans Saints? The Packers ranked dead last in the NFL, 32nd in the league against the run, allowing more than an average of 150 yards a game. Well, after the Bucs game, in which they allowed just 16 yards rushing, and I understand the Bucs are not the best team in the NFL, far from it, but still, this is a unit that has gone from ranked 32nd to now 22nd in the league in total run defense. Quite an improvement over the last 8 weeks or so, the past 2 months since the bye week, just about. They are trending in the right direction, and they're going to need it against the Lions in this regular season finale. But other big news yesterday, 5 Packers players named to the Pro Bowl, headlined by wide receiver Jordy Nelson for the first time of his career. Congratulations, Jordy Nelson. It's been a long time coming. Finally, in his 7th NFL season, here he is with the first Pro Bowl nomination, not nomination, first Pro Bowl berth, I guess you could say, of his career. Jordy Nelson in the midst of basically a career year. He already has career highs in receptions, career high in receiving yardage. He's 2nd in the NFL right now with 13 receiving TDs, just 1 behind the leader. Who knows, by the end of this week's game, he could be leading the NFL in receiving touchdowns. Amazing. It's actually not a career high for him, though, because Jordy Nelson had, I believe it was, 15 a few seasons ago. Who knows, though? He's got 13 now. Maybe he can grab two against the Lions, at least tie it, maybe even surpass it. That would be one heck of a game if he could surpass it. And the Packers certainly hope he could do so. But truly great, great job by Jordy Nelson. A welcome recognition. It's been a long time coming. And to be there, nominated or named to the Pro Bowl, is a true accomplishment. He'll be joined by four other Packers players, including quarterback Aaron Rodgers himself, in the midst of a career year, perhaps likely to be named the NFL's MVP award. I'm not sure, you know, it's not a given yet. There's certainly other worthy candidates, including Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo, including J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans. I would say it would take quite a bomb of a performance by Rodgers not to win the MVP award, however, in the league's final week. But, he's certainly setting himself up for the award. His touchdown-to-interception ratio is number one in the NFL, and I think the most impressive thing he's done this year and pretty much throughout his career. 36 touchdowns to just 5 interceptions. It's remarkable the way he is able to, you know, extend plays with his legs, find players on the run frequently in the end zone, and as well not give the ball away to the other team. Although those fumbles are starting to rack up, though. Turning the ball over in other ways other than, you know, interceptions. I believe Aaron Rodgers has now fumbled in 4 straight games, something like that. That's got to come down. That's got to stop. And he always was good earlier in his career about avoiding the fumbles. But they've been happening at a pace that I'm not really comfortable with right now. I would like to see those declined. Regardless, his 4th Pro Bowl, Clay Matthews named to the Pro Bowl, Mr. NFC Defensive Player of the Week. It's his 5th time. He currently has 10 sacks on the season, so this is his 4th year with double-digit sacks, which ranks number one in franchise history. Clay Matthews is already on a pedestal with the likes of Reggie White, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and Kabir Bajaj-Biyamila, a Packers Hall of Famer, for the most double-digit sack seasons. And, Clay Matthews just signed a long-term contract extension prior to last season. He's going to be in Green Bay for quite a few more years, so very good possibility as long as he can stay healthy. And that's always been one of the big things with Clay Matthews. Can he stay healthy? If he can, there will be more double-digit sack seasons to come, and not to mention more Pro Bowl bursts. And, also impressive that, you know, he's basically been able to rush the passer even playing as an inside linebacker more so than he has any time before. You saw in the Bucs game, Clay Matthews wasn't actually even used at inside linebacker all that much. He played, roughly about a dozen snaps or so on the inside. But they didn't need him there against the Bucs. If it's a more important game, perhaps like this week against the Lions, maybe they feel they'll need him there more often in their nickel packages, and they're not going to run their base so much with Barrington paired with AJ Hawk back there. We'll see. But Clay Matthews, been effective no matter what. Just the NFL did note he was voted to the Pro Bowl as an outside linebacker, where I guess he's played the most this season, but not as an inside linebacker, in case you were wondering. Fullback John Kuhn named to his 2nd Pro Bowl, his first since 2012, but he was the NFL's leading vote getter at the fullback position. A worthy naming to the Pro Bowl for John Kuhn, I would say. I had been down on John Kuhn, especially early this season. Even last season, you started to think, well, it's finally time. The Packers are going to phase the fullback position out. But I'll tell you, as the weather has gotten even colder in Green Bay, John Kuhn's role has increased. He's seemingly playing more by the week now, and which I think is good. You kind of wonder, like, I know early in the year the Packers were running the no huddle so much and they don't like to substitute, and I think that was part of the reason John Kuhn wasn't on the field. But I think they've figured out now, as it gets colder, it's more important to run the ball a little bit, and they're trying to get John Kuhn back involved out there more so and more so. And I think he's played really good since about the bye week onward. Maybe John Kuhn isn't touching the football as much as he used to, although he had, what, against the Buccaneers last week, 2 10-yard rumbles, just about. Congratulations to John Kuhn. And finally, Josh Sitton with his second Pro Bowl, but the first time being named to the original team. He also went in 2012, but Josh Sitton was an injury replacement that year. Perhaps should have been named to the original team. As you know, I mean, the Pro Bowl is somewhat of a popularity contest, especially when it comes to the fan vote. And Josh Sitton has been playing at a Pro Bowl type of level, or an All-Pro type of level, for several years now. But glad to see him named to the Pro Bowl regardless. This year it'll be played at the site of the Super Bowl in Arizona 1 week before the Super Bowl. You hope, of course, you hope the Packers don't have to play in it, obviously. I shouldn't even have to mention that. I personally don't want to see them in the Pro Bowl. That means they'll be playing in the Super Bowl. But good for these players to be recognized no matter what. So there's your 5 Packers Pro Bowlers, 7 of them being named as alternates. Just quick go through the list here. Packers players being named Pro Bowl alternates. Tackle David Bakhtiari in just his second year in the NFL. Wide receiver Randall Cobb. Running back Eddie Lacy. Guard TJ Lang. Linebacker Julius Peppers. Cornerbacks Sam Shields and Tremont Williams. All of them backups. I shouldn't say backups, alternates. So if an injury happens, something like that, they would go instead. So congratulations to them. Many deserving candidates there as well. Also yesterday, Dominic Raiola. This just came down the pike yesterday evening. It actually had let me reset here. On Monday, after our last episode of Railbird Central, Dominic Raiola was suspended by the NFL without pay for 1 game, which happens to be the Packers game, Week 17, regular season finale, for a violation of league safety rules, his 6th violation since the year 2010, in which he stomped on Chicago Bears defensive lineman Ego Ferguson, if you happen to see the highlights of that or were watching the game. Just obviously a dirty play, and very reminiscent, I suppose, of what fellow Detroit Lion Ndamukong Suh did against the Packers a few seasons ago there in that Thanksgiving Day game when he stomped on Evan Dietrich Smith. It wasn't exactly the same type of situation, but very, very similar. Raiola gets suspended, and just yesterday, it was announced Tuesday evening, he lost his appeal, so it's official. He will miss the game. The Lions will go into Week 17 with a new starter at center, backup Travis Swanson, a rookie who has yet to play center in a regular season game. He was a college center, so it's not like he has no experience there. He's actually played there quite a bit during college, played there in the preseason. It's just that he was, you know, he wasn't a starter at all prior to the season. Injury struck mid-year, and he played right guard for two or three games, I believe. And they have since gotten healthy, and he's gone back to being a backup on the offensive line. But this will mark his first game. He'll start at center, and you have to imagine that only benefits the Packers. They will try to take advantage of a rookie starting his first game at a new position in such a high-stakes game. I mentioned it earlier. There's so much at stake. The winner of this game becomes the NFC North champion. The winner of the game gets a bye in the playoffs, at least the number two seed. Chance to get the number one seed. Chance to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So there's so much riding on this game that it's going to be tough for a rookie making his first start at a new position. You can imagine the Packers are going to try to overwhelm them. They're going to do some A-gap blitzes. They're going to do some stunts. They're going to put a guy right on the nose and get in his face and maybe try to distract him from other players blitzing. All sorts of those kind of things you can imagine that the Packers are going to do. And rightly so. I mean, hey, this is the NFL. There's no... he doesn't get a free pass just because he's making his first start at a new position. You know, it's not like they're going to say, that's too bad, you know, and they'll try to attack elsewhere. No, they're going to go after him. You can see that happening on Sunday. And you know, hopefully Clay Matthews will line up there at inside linebacker and they'll bring him on a blitz and he'll get home. And not just him. I mean, heck, you saw this past game, Brad Jones even in the dime package. He was blitzing. He put one heck of a hit on McNown this past Sunday against the Buccaneers. So that just came down the pike on Tuesday evening. In other news, the Packers announced the launch of a new fan initiative campaign called the Get Loud Lambo campaign, or whatever you want to call it, platform. And basically what it is, you know, head coach Mike McCarthy, you know, trotted out for his usual press conference on Tuesday afternoon with a brand new Packers branded sweatshirt. It says Get Loud Lambo on it. And, you know, apparently players, coaches, team employees are going to be wearing these throughout the week, but it's going to be something that's going to be at Lambeau Field starting this game and beyond. And what they really want to do is, you know, get the fans involved, make it an intimidating place for opponents, especially when they have the football and the Packers are on defense, making it tough on them, making it tough to communicate, making it hard to hear their own quarterback's cadence and snap count. All these kind of things. The Packers are going to have cues on the video boards, on their Tundra Vision scoreboards. The cheerleaders are going to have, you know, handheld signs. They're going to have new music they're going to debut this week inside the stadium. All with the hopes to make things tough on the Detroit Lions, but apparently something that will carry over into future games. I think it's great. I know there's skeptics that have been... I wrote the article here at Cheesehead TV, and there were some skeptics like, oh, has Lambeau Field gotten so lame that they have to tell fans when to cheer? And you know what? I mean... When my mom goes to a game, yeah, she could be told when to cheer. You know, not everybody is an absolute Packers and football expert. My mom's more of a casual fan. Doesn't make her any less of a fan. You know, she spends her hard-earned money going to a game just like anybody else. She's maybe not as entirely follows football as much as the next person. But yeah, she could probably be told when to cheer and get loud. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's great. I hope the Detroit Lions have a few delay of game penalties as a result of the Lambeau crowd. I hope you, anybody who's going to the game, comes home with a hoarse voice and helps the Packers come away with the division championship on Sunday. So, initiating that new campaign just announced for the first time on Tuesday and going to be debuted at the stadium this upcoming Sunday, in game, that type of thing. Packers practicing yesterday, Tuesday. Tuesday is typically the Packers' day off from work. Yeah, the players might go to the stadium and they might have meetings or things like that, but they typically don't practice. It's the one day a week where they just almost, you know, do nothing physically other than, you know, maybe if there's rehab that needs to be done, they get that done, but they're not out there on the practice field, anything like that. But because of the Christmas holiday this week, because the Packers are taking off Thursday entirely, which is atypical, not their normal routine, but Mike McCarthy feels it's important to give them, not just them, but the coaches, the support staff, give everybody a holiday off, spend time with family. So the Packers practicing on Tuesday, yesterday instead. And he said it's kind of a little bit of an adjustment. They do make some tweaks. He said it would basically, it was the same type of practice coming off like a Monday night football game when they're on a short week of work and their bodies are probably still a little bit beat up. It was that kind of practice that they scaled back a little bit. According to reports from the Don Hutson Center in Green Bay, quarterback Aaron Rodgers was limited. I know that's the report from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I know other beat reporters just following him on social media have said the same. It didn't appear as if he was doing very much. And this doesn't come as a surprise. This is not official because the Packers and the NFL aren't required to release their first injury report of the week until today, until Wednesday. So who knows? I mean, Aaron Rodgers could make progress and not even be on the injury report at all, perhaps. But he appeared to be limited yesterday, not doing as much as normal. Whether that means, you know, Matt Flynn got increased work, I'm not really sure. But like I said, this doesn't come as a surprise because you saw him in the Tampa Bay game. He suffered that strained calf. He didn't have much mobility. He had the flu bug on top of that. I'm not sure, really sure that was limiting him anymore or not. But the calf definitely appears to be affecting him. And so kind of waiting to see what happens the rest of this week. And I suppose that leads us into appropriately right now.
The day ahead.
At 1265 Lombardi Avenue on Wednesday, Packers going to hold practice once again on Christmas Eve. So kind of worth watching what Aaron Rodgers' status will be, likely to be on the injury report, the first of the week released on Wednesday. Here's what head coach Mike McCarthy had to say regarding Aaron Rodgers yesterday and looking ahead.
I mean, so far, so good. We'll see how tomorrow is. He's getting better each day. So, we'll see how he is tomorrow. And, tomorrow's practice is more of an abbreviated Thursday type practice for us. On Wednesday, we'll be operating in shells. you know, we're our padded practice availability is over. So, but I don't know what exactly he's going to do tomorrow. I won't know that till tomorrow morning.
Those were comments from Mike McCarthy's Tuesday press conference. We'll learn more today on Wednesday, 1:15 p.m. Head coach Mike McCarthy's press conference, streamed live on Packers.com. Check it out if you want to learn more about Aaron Rodgers' status. I'm assuming he plays. I mean, he played against the Buccaneers, and yeah, he couldn't run all that much. But they'll just have to go with a game plan where you're not asking him to run. I mean, they really never ask him to run. It's just that he's at his best when he has that pocket escapability and can make plays outside the pocket or scramble for a first down, things like that. Who knows? Maybe it's minor. Maybe he gets it all back by the time Sunday comes around. It's only Wednesday right now. We still have 4 days until the game. So Aaron Rodgers certainly could get better from here on out. Like I said, we'll learn more later on. Yesterday, Devon House practiced for the first time since injuring his shoulder in Week 14 against the Atlanta Falcons. If you remember, he got tangled up with Julio Jones in the end zone. They both kind of went down hard. Julio Jones actually injured on the play as well. But Devon House has been missing ever since. And the Packers have, more or less gone away without him. They didn't need him, really, in the Buccaneers game. You could argue that they needed him against the Buffalo Bills. But still, I think this is notable that there is no guarantees here. I know the folks at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in particular feel that Devon House is not going to play in this Lions game. Just the way they phrase things and word things, they think it's a long shot that Devon House will play. And I think it's notable because, if you remember, perhaps Devon House's best game of the year came against the Lions way back in September. I know this was a long time ago, but they like the way he matches up against the big wide receivers like Calvin Johnson. That's why they brought him into the Falcons game to cover Julio Jones. He's just taller than Sam Shields. He's taller than Tremont Williams, and they like that little bit of extra length. And they really limited the damage by Megatron way back in, what was it, Week 3 of the season. You know, Calvin Johnson was not the reason the Packers lost that football game, more or less. It was the Packers' missed opportunities on offense and their defense that lost it for them. But it wasn't due to Calvin Johnson. It was other people that hurt the Packers that day. They did a pretty good, he got his catches, and he always will, but they really limited his effectiveness, I think. So, whether Devon House will play this week or not, still kind of looking to find that out. We'll see if he goes from, perhaps limited practice participation to full. Again, not looking like it, but you never know. Perhaps you're holding out hope and hoping that will happen on Wednesday and beyond. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a holiday for a lot of people on Christmas Eve here on Wednesday. We're glad to bring you some content on a day where I imagine, a lot of the media outlets won't be, putting out quite as much as people taking off for the holidays and things like that. So glad you could join us. I know we're probably not getting our usual audience on the live edition of Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. But those of you who are just sitting around during the holidays listening in, thank you for doing so. And enjoy Christmas and the rest of your holidays. Railbird Central will be spotty for the rest of the rest of the holidays through New Year's. Availability You know, I'll be traveling for the holidays, going to my parents' house, going to my wife's parents' house, things like that. So I'm not sure of the exact schedule right now, but don't be surprised if we miss some of our usual Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule live edition at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, usually. But folks, happy holidays on behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV. Normally, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joins us on Wednesdays. We gave him the holidays off, and now it's time for everybody else here to take the holidays off as well. So thanks for joining us. Enjoy the game this Sunday against the Detroit Lions. This should be a fun one, and this is what it's all about. I leave you today with a song called "The Place That I Call Home" by the infamous String Dusters on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.